Hello, everybody, and welcome to our third mentor call with Agnieszka and Adamantia. We are both master practitioners in psychosomatic therapy, and today we're going to be talking about the habitual muscle patterns and chakra centers and how energy blocks are formulated in the body. So energy blocks are caused by emotions that get stuck in the body. Sometimes when we experience a negative experience or sometimes even a positive experience, we could hold on to that in a way that causes our muscles to tense up. And often it will cause us to put a layer of fat over top of the muscle, or to it might cause a drainage in some part of the body, depending on our energy interaction with the world, the way we do it. Energy blocks are caused by emotions, like I said, but sometimes the good emotions don't end up flowing nicely, easily through the body. Things, positive things that we experience, great meals or great conversations, they're easily absorbed and released, whereas negative conversations and negative experiences tend to be mulled over and talked about at length, and then that's what causes them to get stuck in the body. So today is all about flow and how we can promote flow in our bodies.
So what we're really going over today is module 2 of the online BAM. And I also know all three of you have been in the Full Body Awakening live event, which is great. And it's amazing because I've gone over module 2 a few times now, and it's just, I'm still every time going deeper with it and the amount of information that is in there. And it's a beautiful foundation for where we're going to be going starting in January, where we're going to be going every month, getting deeper into each chakra. So what we really want to do is start with talking about our body and how it is the vehicle of our soul and our soul's expression, and how really we are that, you know, it's a conduit of light. And it's where really the life force energy that we're pulling up from Mother Earth and the light source energy of the universe, how they're coming and meeting and flowing through us, really allowing us to shine our own light and our authentic expression. And when we talk about our body, we really have to look at the spinal column itself, because it really is, you know, arguably the most important part of the body. And that is really where our life force flows from, really from our inner core and then outward to our outer sheath. So what's going on inside is what's being manifested, not only in our reality, but in our physical form manifestation. So as Agnieszka was talking about the emotions and what gets stuck in the body, it's that lack of flow, or you can call it disturbed flow of energy from the center core, that's really caused by those suppressed emotions from our past life experiences. And really that's what causes the issues in our tissues and, again, the manifestation of our physical formation. So again, as Agnieszka was talking about the thoughts, really how they control our repeated muscle patterns and how our emotions are being held. And it is that stuck energy that's being held in the 20 muscles at the very core around the spinal column. And that's actually why the bedroom yoga is so important and plays such a vital role in releasing all that stuck energy from the very core of our being. So yeah, I mean, it's just the importance of bringing consciousness back into our center core through the awareness of what's going on in our body. And it could be a pain, it could be perhaps a disease that's manifested, discomfort, and the awareness of where the energy is stuck. And again, that's about going inward and really connecting. And then we start to look at how we can realign to assist in that releasing. And that's when we get into the foot point, into bedroom yoga, into the posture. And I know that, again, all of us here have participated in that. And through that realignment is how we can really awaken so that our energy and our really our light can flow freely through us.
Yeah, and sometimes also the other thing that we could be aware of, or it's beneficial for us to be aware of, is the balance between the left and right. Because just as much as it's important to stand up in your own power and hold your spinal column, the balance between left and right and paying attention to the habitual muscle patterns that are formed on the right or on the left, and if there's more muscle tension, or sometimes our muscles are just asking for attention. So it may not be pain, it just may be a feeling or a tension. But if we ignore that for a while, then it becomes a pain. It could become a pain, and eventually it could even lead to something like a disease or even an accident for our body to draw our attention to the issue where the energy is stuck in our body. So I just want to go over the list of what right and left, which are represented right side of the body and left side of the body, and what they mean. And to start with, a reminder that the right brain controls the left side of the body, and the left brain controls the right side of the body. That is actually crisscrossed. Sometimes we forget that. So the right brain will control the left side of the body, and the left side of the body is feminine, it's yin, it's creative, it's the reaction, the caring, emotional, and soul side of the body. And the left brain controls the right side of the body, and the right side of the body is masculine, it's yang, it's analytical, action-oriented, it's a doing, mental, and it represents the personality as opposed to the soul. And so if you notice there's a pattern of energy being stuck on one side of your body or another, there are different ways of releasing that and allowing that energy to flow. And we do have some tools in the Body Awakening Method online program to assist you in releasing some of those things. One of those tools that I would highly recommend for everybody, and I would even recommend it being listened to monthly, it's a meditation. It's also available in the written form. It's the body scanning. In the bonus modules, the body scanning. The body scanning meditation goes through every single muscle in your body, every single part of your body, and it tells you exactly what the meaning of any tension in that part of the body is. So it's a really important meditation to just keep our awareness on our body and spend some time really focused on our own body and loving every inch of it. And the other thing I wanted to bring your attention to is the chakras. There are different diseases associated with different chakras. There are different pains and different tendencies associated with each chakra. And if you go through the modules, module 5 on are all the individual chakra modules. And as Adamantia mentioned already earlier, we will be covering the chakra modules from January on until July, because there are 7 chakras that we're covering. And so January starting with the base. And we will be talking all about the base and what we can discover from the base on the January call. But for now, if you're curious about a specific chakra, do watch the module that relates to that chakra and read the manual where all the different diseases associated and energies associated with that chakra are written. And so just as the right and left balance is very important, forward and back balance is very important. So if you remember the plumb lines, and when you stood on the plumb line and aligning to your spinal column, the forward and back balance is very important. If you find any tension in your neck or your back, you can certainly remind yourself of proper posture. Put your head above your spine, and that will allow for a better energy flow through your spine. And after all, everything starts with a foundation.
Yes. And like Agnieszka and I mentioned earlier, we're going to be starting with the base chakra in January. But today what we're really going to start about is the feet, because that is the base chakra, that is our grounding, that is our roots into the earth. And so much can be shifted in just the realignment of the foot point. I mean, I've experienced it myself personally, and I've seen it with others who perhaps if that's the only one thing they've done, they've really seen a significant change. Because with our right foot being our sense of direction, with our, which is our left brain function, and our left foot, our purpose, our right brain function, mechanically, if they're off, this throws off the biofeedback of the left and right brain communication. So which it's really much deeper than just, oh, realigning the feet for realigning the feet. It's about the actual reaction that's happening, biofeedback in the brain. And not only that, but then how we can relieve some physical ailments that happen just from the feet being off, from the knees and the hips up. And if structure equals performance, then starting with the basic foot point alignment really is a foundational place to start, but also constantly being aware of it, even as, you know, years go by after having done it for the first time. And then really when awareness is brought back and our alignment is achieved, we really get, you can say we get back on track and our life starts to go that way because we're adjusting physically. The body is the subconscious, so we're sending a message to the subconscious and ourselves, and we're also adjusting the biofeedback from in the brain as well. So that's where we really want to start as a foundation with a reminder, again, of the foot point, where are we at? You know, because, again, when they're pointed inward, find ourselves at cross purposes and outward, you know, we can be draining our energy and just not quite sure which direction we're going in. So that is the foundation I believe we want to start with because it's really about unraveling from the inside out, but also unraveling old repetitive patterns and thoughts that affect the energy flow through our body.
Yes. I definitely recommend to watch the Module 2 video again. Watching it the other day, it really gave me a different sense of it. It's interesting how as we grow and learn and study different subjects, sometimes going back to the basics is so enlightening because we can see it from a whole different perspective. I personally could see that video this time from a different perspective, and it gave me deeper insights on things that I was already aware of before. And so understanding how foot point and balancing our energies left and right, forward and back, feet straight, hips straight, knees straight, how that really affects all of our energy centers and all of the chakras. And as the energy flows from our feet up through our head and from our head down to our feet, we're all invited to experience this flow. All about the flow. So if at any time you find yourself having a tension or maybe just a slight discomfort inside a muscle, I invite you to sit with that muscle and send loving energy and really understanding what is the message that the muscle is giving us and how we can certainly look at it. And yet again, look at modules 5 to however many, 7 chakras, 12, I can add. To really get a deeper understanding of each chakra in and of itself.
Yeah, and I think the significance of when we start to get into it is about the lower 3 chakras, because that really where a lot of people, where we hold a lot of our fear. And as we clear the lower 3 chakras, then the energy can move upward to the higher levels of consciousness, but having that foundation in place too. So it's great to be in the higher levels of consciousness, but if we don't have the foundation, then there's the imbalance from the lower 3 chakras and the upper, with, of course, again, the point of balance being at the heart.
Yeah, once we release the fear in the lower 3 chakras, it's so much easier to release the upper 3 chakras. And there are some things that we can do just release just from fixing our foot point. It's the biggest thing that we learn in this.
Foot point.
Right. I'm going to unmute you ladies now for questions. There we are. Do you have any questions?
Or questions, comments, fabulous conversation, experiences?
I'm so glad I'm here to listen to your beautiful languaging. I got to remember these beautiful languages again as I talk to clients.
I'm glad you're here too.
Just I may have to listen to this again.
Well, it's interesting because each call is different. Like, I was just, as I was speaking, I was realizing how different this morning's call was. And we do have an outline that we hold on to, but the sentences that come out are different each time. It's very interesting how different information, even though the same outline, different information comes out depending on who's listening.
And it's the repetition that I find, at least for myself, and I've seen it in others, is what causes the new behavior. And that's why I guess, you know, I'm going to say that I know Agnieszka said it a few times, but I was watching, I watched module two again, and it's almost as if the energy of the work itself, I embody it deeper, more so than the mental candy, because there's lots of it in there, but somehow it becomes more embodied within my being every time I watch it. So I can physically be feeling myself shifting in it. Yeah, just as a side again about rewatching it and then new questions that come up every time.
Yeah. How many hours do I have in a day?
All of them.
All of them.
But you know what? Even 5 minutes it doesn't even, I mean, whatever we have time for. But I think the other great outlet as well is when somebody has a question or even an experience and they're posting it on Facebook. I mean, I find that is so powerful as well.
It's funny. When were we in Sedona?
I think last month, but it's a blur.
Exactly. I don't think it's been that long.
I don't think
it's been 1 month, less than 1 month, right?
1 month. Yes.
Like 3 weeks.
Almost a month.
Yes.
Man, I've forgotten so much of the language.
Yeah.
That's why we're here every month, Kay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I know for myself, I mean, I that's why I continue to repeat so much with Carol, because that's where the work really comes through. So when I'm even just communicating it with other people, talking or sending notes, you know, Facebook notes or whatever, it just continues to embody it within me.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that it is so powerful because, you know, at home alone, yeah, I do my own, my corrections. And I mean, at this point I live it, I've embodied it, but it's from the repetition of it.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
This is our third call, right? And actually, the more I think about it, the more I realize it's our sixth call, because every call, even though there are two each time, they're different enough so that there's completely different information. So you can always, like when you're cooking or something, put us on the background and listen to those calls and see if you can maybe get some other gems.
Yeah. And sometimes the gems, actually, a lot of the greatest ones are coming from people who are sharing their experiences. You know? So I'm like, yeah, so that's why I love hearing the feedback from what experiences you've had, or Anna here on the call, and Judy. I wish I could hear Judy as well. Like, what has life been like, you know, implementing some of these things? How's it going, Anna?
it's going well. I feel like I'm focusing a lot on other people right now as I'm doing these doing the body analysis. And actually, I was saying today, it just seems like I'm coming up with more and more questions. I feel, at least at this point, less, I thought, you know, doing a couple that I would feel more confident in it.
Yes.
And I'm just feeling almost more lost, because the more I do it, the more I find more information.
Yes. What's the saying? The more I learn, the less I know.
It's something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and I totally get that. And that's why I love the book, because it's all in there as well. But you could also ask us.
Yeah.
But the one thing that's coming to mind is, and this was a suggestion that was made to all, I heard at a level one and two maybe last year, is what about doing a full body analysis on yourself? Yeah, that was, I believe, something that Carol had thrown out to everyone to do, and that is a really cool experience.
But Judy hasn't been to the level one, level two yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
She said not yet. I heard it this time.
Not yet. No, Judy's coming.
Yeah. Not to be missed, Judy.
Yeah. I got this food thing done, and then I'll be up there.
Oh, sweetie, I'm so sorry. I can't hear you.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
I heard oh, shoot, though.
Yeah.
It's selective, and I think actually we have somebody else who's joined us. Is it Michelle or Mitch? Somebody else joined us?
Maybe somebody from Winnipeg? No, 207? That's not Winnipeg.
So, are there any... Hello?
Hello? Hello? I can hear you.
Who's there?
Hello?
Hello? Well, we do have somebody who's joined us. I'm sorry, we can't hear you either, but I'm glad you're here. And it's a shame, actually.
Do we have any other questions from the people that we can hear?
I have a question. Oh, go ahead.
So what does it mean when a person has this flap of skin underneath the chin only on one side?
Which side?
Right side.
Well, I'm going to give my 2 cents, and then Agnieszka can give her 2 cents, and then we'll have 4 cents. the right side, I'm wondering, is it as soft as in, like, hanging, sort of?
Yeah.
Yeah, so would it be tighter on the left?
No, it's non-existent.
So just it's normal on the left and then on the right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me it would be more of a softening of their words, but only outwardly. So there's a real restriction of what they're putting out into the world.
Right. Okay.
Emotionally.
Yeah. Not on the right. On the right, no, left side would be emotionally.
Or analytically.
Yes, exactly, analytically. So more of a suppression of the emotions, but more analytically expressing. Thank you, Agnieszka. That's actually bang
no,
on.
No, well, not expressing analytically. Is one of their eyes smaller?
No. I don't
come on, there's always an eye that's smaller.
Oh, okay.
What does their body look like? Is there anything else that stands out for you in their body?
Well, a lot, but this person is very analytical, for sure. So softening, let me process this one. Softening of the words on the right side means softening of the words in an analytic way.
Yeah, so if you
softening
think
of the intellectual words in the outside world.
I would say it's more than just softening. It's more like not giving enough energy, because when there's smooth energy flow, you know, you can see the skin being, you know, smooth and allowing the energy to flow. And so any kind of flap of skin or whatever would be like, you know, throwing some rocks into the river, slowing down the flow, right?
Yeah, it's almost like if it's loose, it's like a desensitized tissue. It's almost like a protection of that as well, a sensitivity perhaps to expressing that analytical side. So even if you're saying that they are very analytical, are they softening that of which they are expressing outwardly?
Yes.
Like holding back. Because if energy is not flowing, it has to go somewhere, and then the body starts to create the outer sheath.
Got it.
And if their right eye is smaller with that, like that depends, right? But if that is the case, that their right eye is smaller, then I would say that somebody questioned their intellect at an early age. And so even though they're an analytical person, they still are cautious about expressing their analytical thoughts and discoveries that they make inside their own mind because someone questioned them in the past. But that's only if the right eye is smaller.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And that's where it gets really neat with looking at the other parts of the body. Like, for an example, like what Anishka does, even if that right eye, say, is slanted downward towards the nose, and there's a judgment as well, but then it'd be interesting to know what's going on in the other parts of the body. Is this someone you're doing a body or a face analysis on? Is it just someone that you know that you've just noticed this?
I just noticed it. It's actually my husband.
Oh. Yeah.
I have to do a full body analysis on him, but I haven't done it yet. I just noticed it.
Yes.
So yeah. How is his neck? Like the back of his neck?
Say that again?
How is the back of his neck? Is he holding any tension in his shoulders or the back of the neck?
Yeah, he tends to turtle his neck.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's
so
more,
it's almost like afraid he's gonna get in trouble.
Yeah. It's more of a submissive stance.
I would say that would go nicely with a smaller right eye.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a holding back, really, of speaking in general, because I'm just doing it right now. Like, if anybody else wants to do it while we're talking about it, pull up your shoulders.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Pull down your neck. And the restriction, not only is it the tension, feeling the burden of that in my shoulders, but the burden of not voicing, expressing myself, because it's very hard for me to express when I'm doing that turtle neck, right?
It's almost choky, a choky feeling. And I also, when I do it, often when I sort of mimic the person's posture and then I think about when did it happen, what did I think last time I did that? And for me, that kind of posture would be a habitual, oh, shit, kind of thing. Oh, what happened? Oh, what did I do? Kind of like that. I'm in trouble.
Right.
Cool.
That's it.
And then I would ask about what his parents were like. But you don't have to answer that now. I'm just saying that's where I would go with this logic.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I just wanted to invite Judy, if you had any questions, if you want to email me while we're online, we can still address your questions, even though it might be hard for us to hear you. Because, like, that's a great, thank you for that question, Kay, because as I start to notice people's faces, even when I'm not trying to notice people's faces. So I know it helps me understand people better in my interaction with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I did start kind of telling him a few things, but we were sitting on board ship, and I didn't have my notes with me.
Oh, yes, on your cruise.
Yeah.
Wonderful. How was it?
Wonderful. There was no internet. Literally on holiday.
Nice.
That's wonderful. Good.
Yeah.
And you didn't bring your books?
I did bring my face-to-face book.
Yes.
Okay, so that's my second question. I really have trouble figuring out the shape of the face. Like, I just don't follow Herman's pictures about the, where to start putting a triangle or like that sort of thing.
Yeah,
I have a lot of trouble with that. Whether it's a rectangle, whether it's an oval, whether it's a round or oval down the bottom or any of those things.
Mm-hmm. So really, I can totally relate to that because as far as of any part of any reading of any part of the body for myself, the face shape at first was very, exactly what you just said. I have said those exact same words. And it just comes with doing it. And just sometimes what I would have to do is look away and look back and not think about it. And it's really just looking in the book, especially the face-to-face book, because it really shows where the three sections are. So I find it helps when you kind of can look where the mental, emotional, and physical zones start and end to get, like, even where if it's a triangle or not.
Okay, so if it is a triangle, it would be, like, the bottom, the physical section only, that sort of thing?
Yes, yes.
So okay, so it doesn't start, like, right at the cheekbones and stuff like that.
The bottom of the cheekbones, the bottom of the nose, you know what I mean? In between the nose and the lips. So if you were to put a line across, it would almost go, depending on the person's ear, of course, but to the bottom of the ear. But it's not always exact, obviously, because the ear is
actually to the top of the ascending ramus, which is the jawbone, you know, that handle up. That's
where you got your facelift.
Yeah, where your if you clench your teeth, that's where your tension would be. That's the bridge between.
And I find the hairline as well sometimes maybe can skew the shape of the face, but the hairline it's a good thing to look at the hairline because someone hair could be changing the way the top of the head actually looks, right? Yes. But then the hairline is influencing that person's characteristic, and that's why we do wax. To open it up. But I do it comes with practice and just even sometimes going online and just looking at people's faces.
So in some ways, the top, for example, is in theory a representation of the skull shape, right? Then the face, the hairline. So how does that work? Because the hairline is... They influence the shape.
Don't think about the skull, okay? Think about the face shape.
Okay.
It's not about the skull. I think it is outlined by the hairline because as the hairline changes, the face shape will change. The other thing that Carol teaches for people who have issues with that is to imagine you cut off the head and you put them on a table and are they going to roll or fall over or what are they going to do? Are they going to stand up? And the other thing that I've seen a lot is somebody who has a triangle bottom but then has a really strong jaw and they can set their jaw in a way to make their bottom of their face a rectangle or a triangle depending on, like, they're more like a chameleon or somebody who switches back and forth. They can be very stubborn and very flexible. And sometimes they're a stubborn person who's learned to be flexible, and sometimes they're a flexible person who has learned to be stubborn.
And another thing to try to that might assist in this, Kay, is the height of the face compared to the width. So that might help. Okay, is it a circle? Is it an oval? Do you know what I mean? Is to look at how long it is. Compared to the width, that seems to be helpful as first when we're starting, and to just remember that it's okay. Just be general in the beginning. Okay, is it a square or oval? It's more oval. Trust what comes up for you. Okay. And then the eye just gets sharper and sharper. And if they are somebody that say you're reading who allows you to touch them, it's not somebody walking down the street. Go in there and kind of put your hands up, one on either side of their face, right? And see, do you know what? It's hard to show you without video, but get in there and feel the bones, the jaw, with your actual hands, and that's helpful as well.
Okay.
Yeah. But it really, the eye gets trained and it comes with practice. And that's the same thing, Anne, with the body analysis. At first it might seem like the more I do, the less I know. But then one day it just click, 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 click. Mm. And I find that comes most unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm. I do find moments of intuition, I think, that surprise me.
Yes. Yeah, and that just gets stronger and stronger. And to keep in mind, I mean, I've been doing it since 2013. So you guys did this last month.
Right.
Right? So...
Yeah.
And also remembering that the universal consciousness makes no mistakes. If somebody is sitting in front of you for the body reading, it's because you are their teacher. Because if I were their teacher, they'd be in my healing room, sitting in front of me.
Yeah.
And so whatever information you have to impart is what they're looking for. And that's all you need to worry about. Whether you're practiced or not, these people are looking for you.
And actually, I think that's probably the most important thing, is that their soul's communicating something to you that might be communicating something to me when I sit down in front, and they're sitting down in front of me, and it's just trusting that completely, I think is the key. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Judy, please describe. Judy sent us an email. I'm so excited. Please describe what is going on with this person. The hump on the back of the bottom of the neck. Neck goes forward, rounded shoulders. That's great. Yes, Agnieszka, you put your hand up. You may speak.
I want to answer this question. So yes. If you want to understand deeper what's going on with this person, I would recommend you listen to Mentor Call from this morning, because we were talking about this very thing. It's a posture issue. So basically their shoulders are rolling forward because they're protecting their heart, because they're afraid of lack of acceptance or understanding from the outside world. And their head is pushing forward, so their head is not lined up above their neck. And that's how you get the hump, is by pushing the head forward, and then you grow that big hump.
Are you coughing?
Yeah, I'm coughing.
Oh, she's coughing. And with the neck going forward, that would be a learned behavior, postural behavior, and at some point, so there's a couple things going on there. They're in their head, so they're being led by their mind. So they're in the present, they're in the future, not in the present moment. So on a plumb line, you clearly see that. And the other thing then, the next question would be, okay, why is that happening? Well, I would suggest that at some point in the past, and these are things that happen, you know, early on in our lives, it became too uncomfortable to feel what was going on in the body for whatever reason, because the emotions are in the body. Right? So at some point it became too difficult to feel what was going on in the body, and there had to be a disconnection. It was safer to be in the mind. So realigning them could also bring back the feeling of like, oh my goodness, all of a sudden I'm feeling, and there could actually even be emotional releases in that. But it would also bring them back into the present moment, help them open up their shoulders, and then you get into some heart healing as well, as to what it was probably, I'm going to suggest, an initial heart issue that had to shut down and wasn't able to feel something painful perhaps that was going on around them.
And usually that would be something like early childhood lack of acceptance, or somebody told them that they were essentially unworthy for, or that, you know, whatever their true self was, wasn't good enough or appropriate for the outside world. So that's where you see that kind of a body language, is when a person is being taught that that's not a, well, who they are is not right, not appropriate.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a defeated stance, and definitely a protective stance, and just the person being in their head. So that's a great, it's great because all those three things really go together. In that body shape.
And Judy, when you're releasing their shoulders, make sure you roll it from the elbows all the way, because just rolling the shoulders doesn't actually release it. So having them put their hands out and then rolling their shoulders back would be a lot more effective, and it would shift it at a deeper level.
And actually, Judy, this is working great. She just sent us another question. Judy asks, what does a flat back top of the head mean? So the top of the head, but at the top. And that many in the same family have this. So flat back.
Oh, cool. That's a good Carol question, hey?
Yeah.
What's above the Akashic Records? Or is it the Akashic Records? Is it?
If it has, first of all, if it's in the back, there's a few things going on. Obviously, crown, Akashic Records, as you're saying. But it's from the past. The fact that it's running in the family sounds like clearly an ancestral thing, an ancestral clearing. And that's one thing that I did mention earlier that I wanted to, is how not only do our own thoughts create what's going on in our body, but what's running through our DNA. So this would be a very interesting case study, a head case study as to who the family is, what their origin is, what their culture is, what their history is. Those would be the questions that I would ask if it's something that's running in the family. So it's a lot deeper than just the one person having this. And what I'm going to do is look into that deeper for you, because unless you have anything, Agnieszka.
I would have to see more of the person, like to see exactly how this flat area, and if it's, you know, translates into any sort of related crown chakra diseases. Mm-hmm. If you go into the crown chakra module, I believe it's module 12, you can look at the associated diseases and other energies of the crown chakra and take a look at that, because it would have something to do with the crown chakra.
And I'm just looking in our messages from the body book to see if there's anything here. Would you call that, not the temple, scalp, frontal, crown, back of the head? So I'm just going to try read that out, see how that
resonates. Back of the head, or?
Pardon? It's just for the head, back of the head in general.
Okay.
Is understanding fearing. They have issues concerning the processing of their feelings, images, and visualizations. They were not supposed to see or comprehend what was going down when they were a child. So that's just a general explanation of the back of the head. So not, it maybe is specific to this, but we'll definitely look into asking about that for you.
Does that answer your question, Judy? You can say yes or no. I think we could figure it out.
We muted her.
Oh, we muted her. Oh, my goodness. There we go. Yeah, no, I didn't get any of that.
No. But please email your reply, Judy, and I'll be happy to read it. Because that would be very interesting to look into that one deeper. Deanna, the more I learn, the less I know.
Absolutely.
And I love it, because now I'm going to find out. We're going to find out, and then we're all going to have a new understanding of a new, what do you call it, situation, issue, body part. Whatever you want to call it. Yeah. So.
I have a question also regarding, I have a client who has both a thyroidectomy and a hysterectomy, and she wants to know how those things apply to her. Is there anything in particular for those areas?
Well, that's a really complicated question, Anna.
Yeah.
Because it would have to do, like, with her family history and her own personal history in the sacral. Does she have any, like, hysterectomy? To me, would be, you know how I was saying earlier in the call how repetitious muscle patterns, you know, first call for your attention, then they start hurting, then... You know, you may have a disease or an accident in that area before, depending on how long it takes a person to really notice what the body is saying. Mm-hmm. So in that, I would say that there was some definite sacral blockage of some sort. Okay. But I'm not sure what it was or how it would play out in this person's life. And it could be, you know, it could have had anything to do, like even a loss of a child or something might have caused a disease to manifest where she would have to get an hysterectomy. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about appendectomy, but I think Adamantia is looking it up in the body book right
now. I believe you said thyroid and...
Thyroidectomy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so well, hysterectomy is an intense repudiation of their femininity and creative powers.
Say that again.
Is an intense repudiation. So they
repudiation.
Feel it's not safe for them to manifest their creativity or their femininity. And really, if you look at it, they're both of those, the hysterectomy is in the sacral, and that's where the emotions and the creativity lie. And then with the thyroid being in the throat, which is actually, remember how we talk about we give birth two ways.
Right.
So keep in mind, this is explanation as per Adamantia at this moment. so it's they're connected. So it's not then our expressions coming from our throat as well, right? So we're giving birth from below the sacral or through our throat chakra. So I'm just so going to give you the explanation for the thyroid, since I have the book here as well when I find it. But I find those two chakras can be quite related.
Mm-hmm.
Give me 2 seconds. So again, it has to do with expression that nobody wants to hear from them. This is thyroid problems in general. I know you called it thyroidectomy.
Yeah, they removed her thyroid, yeah.
Yeah, so it's almost... yeah, about expression, but not thinking the other people want to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is connected then to the hysterectomy, which is about how they feel about being a woman and expressing their creativity, but if it's going to the point where the thyroid's being removed, that's mm-hmm. a deep-rooted
yeah.
issue on a soul level, I'm going to suggest.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because the other thing it says in here is that their experience is that they never get to do what they want to do. So if it is connected to not expressing their creativity or femininity, it's just, you know, we're not saying that this is what it is,
right?
But you kind of have to look at the person as a whole
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and then give explanations from it to them.
Right.
And the fact is, though, when it's truth, mm-hmm. it hits and it resonates and there's a release.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where I find then that's when it's real, is when they're actually having an emotional release because of it. And they might not even consciously be aware of why they are, but their body's reacting to what you're telling them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, she has quite a lot of tissue around her waist.
Yes.
Is it soft or hard?
It's soft, and it's been there a long time, she says. Most of her life, even when she was thin.
Yeah. So I would probably have some conversations asking a lot of questions
mm-hmm.
instead of, like, I wouldn't say, okay, hysterectomy says this, but hysterectomy may imply
mm-hmm.
that perhaps a disconnect from your femininity or your creative
mm-hmm.
powers. And, again, it also has to do with fear of rejection. So... Mm-hmm. From two ends, fear of rejection due to the hysterectomy and fear of expression. And perhaps asking the question, when in your life would you perhaps remember a time where either your femininity or your creativity or your expression were either threatened or shut down?
Excuse me.
I was doing that just earlier.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of what's coming up for both of those is fear of expression.
Yeah, and we did talk about that, about the creativeness that she's not been able to express.
Mm-hmm. And it must be like on a deep, deep level. So sometimes even consciously I may not think that something has affected me as deeply as my body is telling me it has. And that's where I find the timeline.
Yes.
Is so handy to have in front of me when I'm working with someone, because they'll say, okay, this happened 6 years ago, like say some disease. And I'll be like, oh, okay, so what was going on at your life during that time? And you're like, nothing. And I go, well, let's look at your timeline. It's like two years before someone close to them, say, I don't know, passed away or got sick or something, or they got divorced.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes it's not even necessarily the exact time the, say, disease started. Mm-hmm. These things can take time to, you know,
to grow, to manifest.
So it's what happened a couple of years before. And I find the timeline, things that are forgotten that were written down, it's like, oh, yeah, wow. And then the light bulbs start to go on.
Yeah. And she, I did give her a timeline, and she's working on that. So we'll take a look.
Cool. Yeah. Good call.
That's great. I find that just amazing, the timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. I have another question.
Yes.
I found a couple of different people with this that have solar plexus leading very much, you know, out front, and depletions in the back around the shoulder blades and center of the back.
You said solar plexus bleeding?
Leading, you know, leaning forward. So calves and shoulders, well, one has shoulders on the timeline, but center of the back, you know, leaning over backwards, bending over backwards with the gut going forward.
Yes.
And then really really large depletions in the center of the back.
Yes. So the center, when you say the center of the back, are you saying opposite in the front where the solar plexus is leading?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, where the shoulder blades are standing out, and at the waist, both of these people had, you know, like 6-7 inches across the center of the back.
What's their foot point?
Indented. Say again?
Foot point?
Foot point on one was both out turned and wide. The other one is wide and only the right foot turning out. Excuse me.
So the foot point itself, I'm sorry, is wide? They have a wide stance?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's quite a few things going on there. I mean, the wide foot stance would be, it's, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a false sense
of security
from the very root. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I the feet going different directions, we've talked about that.
Right.
The solar plexus leading, it's giving all their power away. And okay. If I heard you right, you said there's the hollow in between the shoulder blades?
Yes. Uh-huh. And down one particularly one of them was particularly between the shoulder blades, very, you know, the 6 or 7 inches wide, and the other one was down by the waist and then sort of triangle up towards the shoulder blades.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, really just at what point do they have to give their power away looking from love outside of themselves? That'd be interesting to know what their arms are doing, their elbows. I would bet that you could probably twist them right out. So that would be something I would look at.
Facing forward or hands facing back, but hands in front of the body.
Okay, well,
both of them a little bit.
Putting things behind her and then in a protective stance as well. Sorry, there's so many things going on right now. I can almost see her body, but really it's what you said, bending over backwards, giving her power away. Mm-hmm. It's affected her heart chakra from the past, that depletion in the past from not getting the recognition. And if her elbows do twist, how we did in class, if you remember, then it's really from a very young age.
Okay.
Is what more do I have to do to get that love? And it'd be interesting to know what's going on in her front of her chest as well.
The thymus, right? The inner child area. Like, is it really bony and sticking out? Because that would say that, you know, the person was perhaps not given the attention that they required as a small baby and, you know, and therefore had to work so hard at being loved.
Okay, one very bony on the chest. The other has really good tissue on the chest. So, yeah, they're different, but...
So whether it's bone or tissue, it depends on how old they were. If it was a baby, like a small baby, then it would be bony protrusion in the thymus area. And if it was a later in life, like kindergarten or after, then it would be a muscle protrusion or a flesh protrusion as opposed to a bony protrusion.
Okay.
That's brilliant. I didn't know that with the ages. Brilliant.
I don't know how I know these things.
I don't have to know why.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
So for her in particular, plumb line, which I'm sure you've done, posture, getting her to bring the energy up from her solar plexus, seeing if her what her diaphragm is doing to get that energy up straight, to fill her heart from within for that which she's looking from outside herself to now find it from within herself. And postures and breath is going to be a huge one to shift that when she has the awareness of why she's correcting the posture.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this client I saw last night, I just wanted to tell you, ladies, he had these little flaps of fat, soft, like skinny guy, like fairly skinny guy, right, like normal size. But he has these little flaps of fat on either side just above his hip bones, right? Just these little flaps of really soft, sort of mostly just skin, but a little bit of fat in there. And I was looking at his body, and I couldn't understand where these were coming from because there didn't seem to be any obvious blockages. And then I looked at his feet. His feet were wide, open, with the ankles falling out, and the knees have both been damaged in the past. When he did that, where we bend the knees forward, when the walking in place thing, his knees were going every which way. Like, even at the knee level, he wasn't straight forward. They were going to the right and to the left. So he's been working on his posture for a couple of days now, and he says he's already noticing more firmer buttocks and just shifting of the energy in his bottom of his body.
I mean, the correction of the posture and the breath alone is so huge.
Yeah.
So huge. It sends such a message to the cells and the subconscious.
And you're talking about the three-stage breathing?
Yes. Yes.
Diaphragmatic.
Yeah. Yeah. With the arms up, if you can get her aligned in her posture from her feet, all the way up. So on a plumb line, I don't know, I'm not sure if you've done this, but to get her corrected posture on the plumb line and then have her breathe up into her chest area.
Okay. We can do it again.
Pardon?
I said I can get with her again. We did do the plumb line, and raising the solar plexus helped a lot getting her in alignment.
Yes. And her arms, if you can show her the breath with the arms raising up.
Okay.
As well, how we did that.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. And I have one more. I have not seen this person yet, but I know her really well. And she's having a lot of breathing issues. She has pulmonary issues, and then she's been having continuing UTIs.
I'm
just wondering if you have any...
Urinary tract infections.
Yeah.
Yeah. So bladder infections?
Bladder infection. She's been on antibiotics almost continuously forever.
Well, you might want to ask her what she's pissed off about and what emotions she hasn't been expressing for a long time because the fire's trying to get out of her.
Okay.
I would recommend some diet changes too for that, for the chronic urinary. Like, I would say no coffee, no sugar. I would say lots of cranberry juice. Start your day with lemon water, kind of deal. Just to clean out her system on a non-antibiotic. And, well, if it was me, I would also recommend some natural antibiotics in addition to the drugstore antibiotics, you know, like garlic and turmeric and ginger and hopefully raw and, you know, taken every 4 hours or every 3 hours, 2 hours kind of thing. There's a regime that you can follow with natural antibiotics that will actually work just as well as store-bought ones. Just as long as people follow it, and it's a little bit more difficult because it's not a pill.
Yeah. And also, though, I think along that would be brilliant, along with finding out what the root is, as so it doesn't come back for her as well, because it's really the body's trying to get rid of emotions, but it's that hot, fiery emotions that it's trying to get rid of. And actually, you know, you know where there's a great explanation for that, Anna, is in the book that we ordered, the body.
Deb Shapiro.
The Deb Shapiro has actually a good description of that in there. Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
I will look for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a ton of issues, and she calls me when she's really down. And I'm looking for ways that I can help her, because I know she feels very, very at the end of her rope. And
you might want to ask her what she's pissed off about.
Pissed off about, yeah. That, I think there are a lot of things.
Yeah, and the bladder is all about emotions.
Okay.
And so the body's trying to get rid of that somehow, and it can be actually manifest in very many different ways. It can manifest in a big belly, how we've released
that.
Right? But this is obviously something that's trying to get her attention, because it's nothing, you know, bladder infections, that's not fun.
No. No, and those are actually just kind of on the side. Her breathing is a bigger issue.
What's her diet like?
Well, I don't think her diet is great, but she is a diabetic, and she actually, I think, is taking insulin now.
Go ahead.
She eats, I think, relatively well, but she probably does eat more sugar than she should, and I think there's some emotional eating.
Mm-hmm.
She's on oxygen.
Just the way you said, she calls you when she's really down.
Mm-hmm.
Just your tone of voice in that statement, it tells me that this person is not necessarily engaged in self-healing. They're looking for outside to solve their issues.
Yep.
And that in and of itself could be the root cause of her breathing issues, right?
Mm-hmm,
always
mm-hmm.
looking to outside for like the breath of life, for life to come to her from the outside, as opposed to actually filling herself up with power and light and air and all these good things.
Yeah. And I believe the diabetes is about the sweetness coming out of life in general.
Mm-hmm.
And how that's going to affect her heart, which is going to affect her breathing, to go with what Agnieszka just said.
Yeah.
So she would be a great case study.
Yes, she would.
And what I've done in the past with my case studies is I've taken the timeline, everything that they've experienced, and dissected each ailment out as my case study requirements. Now, that's more for a master's, but hey, that's where the
plan ahead.
Yeah, you can anchor that all over your body. And when you take the master's, you'll have to do that. But I find doing a case study, I take the timeline, and then for every experience, I break it down psychosomatically, and that's where some patterns really come to life. Yeah. So I would analyze diabetes. I don't know if this is the same thyroid lady or not.
No, this is not the thyroid lady, but she has just about everything else.
Yeah, so I would dissect the everything else, and I bet you will start to see some patterns as to which chakras are related. Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think having her work on the timeline would be a good thing for her to focus on internally.
Yes.
I think that would give her something that she can do without overexerting herself and yet looking at what's really going on. That's a great
and
idea.
And I find a lot of people have shift just by writing the timeline. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And then, like, I'll get phone calls like, whoa. Whoa.
Yeah.
Right.
I would also suggest that when she calls you for assistance in her, like, you know, where she attempts to bring your vibration down by expressing all her pains and aches, perhaps keeping her up in the positive and suggesting an exercise of whatever kind, like whether it's the timeline or something else, just to pull her back into her power. It might take a while for somebody who's that far away from who they really are to really step into their power. But if every time you speak to her, you go, oh, here's what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's what you can do, right? You would reprogram her brain to be self-reliant as opposed to reliant on that other people's sympathies.
Yeah.
That doesn't heal at all a person.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And I used to be a whiner myself, so I know.
Oh, no, not you.
I still am.
Okay, yay.
I didn't know we had to get rid of everything.
Yeah, can't we hang on to a few of those good things?
I'm hanging on to that one.
Okay. Cool.
And again, Anna, those things are great questions for the Facebook page where there's more time and we can look at them closer. That's great. So thank you for that.
Oh, this is very helpful.
And Adam and Tia can always write you an essay about it if you
want. I know. I've seen those. Awesome.
Well, I don't know how to put things in small. I just write until I've done learning.
I'm waiting for the time she phones me up and says that she wrote an answer that's too big for Facebook and that I need to create a website for her to put her answer on.
Well, I have actually before posting have said to Carol, it's long, and she goes, post it. But, I mean, this is about healing in people's lives, right? And, I mean, I find it juicy.
Yes, it is.
I find it juicy, so... I'm going to keep on writing my essay.
Cool.
Yeah. As long as the good Lord allows it.
Go for it.
Yeah. So.
These calls are so different. It's interesting how different the morning from the evening is. Mm. Totally different topics and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you're making me want to listen to the other one.
That's what I'm trying to do.
You're doing good.
She's seeding, anchoring, or whatever the heck.
Yeah.
Put it all over your body.
Planting a seed, yeah.
She's learned from the best.
Well, these replays will be up from today. We'll be up hopefully by tomorrow, and then we'll be able to. You'll be able to. I'll send a link to it.
Okay.
Also, the replays are also available in your BAM modules, like where you go to the BAM modules and scroll underneath the main section with the main modules, but just above. The bonus section, there is a red link there, mentor call link.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you can go to the replay from there.
All right.
Any other questions before we close it up for the evening?
So,
going once.
And I haven't got any other emails from our dear friend Judy. And we're next for next call, Judy. We're going to set up, we're going to figure it out beforehand.
Yes, Kay?
I was going to just confirm, do we upload our done full body analysis sheets to the website? Is that it, the new website? Memberships?
No.
Is that it?
You can just, like when you're finished your full body analysis, just give me an example of each, like, one body analysis, one consultation, and then your signed logbook. Email it to me, and then I can email it to Herman. Why? Why are you looking at me like that, Anantia? Did the rules change or something?
I'm just sitting here. Oh, actually, no. I understand why Kay's asking that. I believe Carol had said that you would be able to do that, right, Kay?
Yeah.
So,
didn't tell me.
Yeah, so we can look into that. But when you're looking to get your certification, unless the rules have changed, you only have to send in one body analysis and one consult. But having said that, I know that you guys have received our on the new system, so we'll look into that for you. But you're right, Carol had said that that's what we would be doing. So we'll get back to that, back to you on that one.
Okay, because I thought we had to send in every single one.
I did,
that
too.
That might be the new format. So we're going to get clarity for you, okay?
I'll double-check that, because every year there seems to be a slight change in the rules, and that was the rule last year. So I'll double-check that for you. And basically, whatever it says in the new logbook, that probably is the case.
Well, it didn't really say that. We had a discussion, and Marissa said what she was told in Australia, and so we were kind of, I think, leaning.
And what was Marissa told in Australia?
That she had to send photographs and everything for five people.
Yeah, so I would go with that because she has the new logbook. You see, we haven't done it for a few years, so yes, I would go with that. But having said that, we're still going to get confirmation for you, so you have something more official.
And where we're going to send it.
Yes, and that's just. That's we'll get that for you.
Okay.
Have you guys received the new log books? Are you still using the ones that we gave you in Sedona? Because I believe the ones we gave you in Sedona were the old ones.
We just have what I just have what you gave us in Sedona.
Okay, we'll get clarity.
The new log book is available on the level one, level two files, I think.
Oh, so are we supposed to use that one instead?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if there's much difference. Is there much difference?
Not much difference, but
We already have a signature.
Yeah,
I wouldn't worry about it too much, Kay, just to make sure that the requirements didn't change. If you have the signatures in the old logbook, you can scan it and send it.
Yeah, that's not a problem at all.
Okay.
That's not a problem at all, but we will get the most current information to you so everyone, we're all on the same page.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Cool.
Yay.
All right. Well, thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you.
And
I love doing these with you guys. Ladies.
And we will, well, I want to wish you, I guess, a Merry Christmas. That's what's happening now.
Yeah, you too.
And a Happy New Year. we'll be starting with the chakras in the new year.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you. We'll see you guys.
Have a great
talk to you guys later.
Yep.
Okay.
Bye.
You on Facebook.
Bye.
Bye.